one is too small a number for greatness. If you want to build a practice that will have a huge impact, that will create financial freedom, that will create time freedom, and all of those things, then you're going to need a team.
Hi, docs. Welcome to the EntreMD podcast, where it's all about helping amazing physicians just like you embrace entrepreneurship so you can have the freedom to live life and practice medicine on your terms. I'm your host, Dr. Una.
Well, hello, hello, my friend. Welcome back to another episode of the EntreMD podcast. As always, I am super pumped that I get to be in your ears. I was sitting and thinking about many of the clients that I've had the privilege of working with who have been able to crush their first million in revenue in their private practices or have added a million to their private practices. And I started looking for the common threads between them. And what I came up with is four things that you need to do if you are going to grow a seven-figure medical practice. So let's dive into that, okay? I want to preface this by saying this is something that is possible. This is something that I've watched so many doctors do. This is something I have done multiple times. And, you know, like you can hit your first, you can hit multiple, you can hit, you know, whichever number it is you want to hit. But I want us to look at four things that must change, four things we must do if we're going to hit that, all right? So the very first thing that we're going to need to do is have a change of attitude, okay? Have a change of attitude. There is something, I mean, I did this when I started off as an entrepreneur. I was in complete resistance. I'm like, I'm a physician. I've paid my dues. I've done all this training. I've built this practice. For some of you, I've built this business. It shouldn't be hard. Things should just work out and all of that. But this is the deal. There is nothing we did in our medical training that has prepared us to run a seven-figure medical practice. Like it doesn't translate. We are great clinicians, but we just did not get the education it takes to become great entrepreneurs. And so the attitude shift is an attitude where you're like, I am willing to, you know, like I understand that I am a great clinician, but my dues are not paid in full. I still need to become a great entrepreneur. I need to still have that evolution. I need to change. I need to learn new things. I need to probably invest in a business education. I need to change, right? So there's that initial place. It just has to happen because if it doesn't, the things that are required to help you hit the seven-figure mark, the marketing, the selling, the leading the team, many of the things we're going to talk about today, you're just not going to be willing to do it. It requires your evolution. And so the attitude is really, I haven't arrived. I'm amazing. I've learned so many things. I have so many skills. There's so many things I can do. But at the same time, there are all these things that I don't know. And it's the things I don't know that are stopping me from taking my practice to the seven-figure mark or multiple seven-figure mark, not the things that I do know. The things I know have brought me where I am. If I'm going to have a new experience, I need to change. And getting out of resistance is really liberating. It's really freeing. It's really empowering. Because it puts you back in the driver's seat, right? You're no longer a victim. You're no longer passive in creating your own masterpiece. Like, you know, I'm an active player here. There are things I can do. There are things I can shift. The very first thing is a shift in attitude. It's a change in attitude. I have not arrived. There are things I need to learn. I still need to evolve. I remember when I graduated from my pediatric residency, I'm like, I've done it. And it's like, I can rest, I can settle. I don't have to keep evolving. I don't have to keep changing. I don't have to keep learning all these things. But the truth of the matter is you do. And you may say, oh man, but I don't want to do that. But this is the thing. Taking the time to develop the skills, taking the time to evolve, to become the kind of entrepreneur, the kind of leader who can grow a very successful, sustainable practice puts you in a place where it gives you time freedom. It gives you financial freedom. It gives you agency. It gives you autonomy. It puts you in a position where you can have a huge impact in the lives of your team members, your patients, your community, and all of that. And so I want to invite you to embrace it. Embrace the evolution required to become the kind of person who can lead a seven and multiple seven-figure practice. Okay? So that's the first thing. It's a brand new attitude. So what that attitude does, things like, well, I don't do marketing or I don't like speaking and all of that, they kind of go away Because now you're like, if that's what I need to learn to pull this off, then it's a skill. I'll just learn it, right? Like it puts you in a very different place, very, very different place. Resistance to what is required to build a successful business is what makes the journey of entrepreneurship unbelievably painful. Unbelievably painful, because the entire time you'll just be saying, this is, I don't want to do this. I don't think I should have to do this. But in the meantime, it will be required. It just is what it is, right? It's like being a physician, you want to go to med school, you want to become a heart surgeon, but you don't want to do anatomy. Like there's just no path to being a heart surgeon without anatomy. There isn't a path, right? And so there are core things in entrepreneurship. There is no path to success without going through them. For instance, when people tell me, I don't like selling. I'm like, you need a job, right? And the truth of the matter is in life, we all need to sell, right? Like to get a 2-year-old to stop having a temper tantrum in Walmart, it takes selling. You're going to sell them on it. You're going to sell them like, okay, let's not do this. And here's why, whatever, right? And so you just want to embrace what is required. And it's a change of attitude that will get you there. So that's the first thing. The second thing, you know, we're talking about four things you need to do to grow a seven-figure practice. The second thing is really embracing marketing and sales. When I started my journey as an entrepreneur, I looked at sales and marketing like something, you know, sleazy, manipulative, high sales, you know, like strong arming people into doing what they don't want to do, like that kind of scenario. That was my interpretation of sales. And so for me, I'm like, first of all, I don't believe in strong arming people. I want to work with people who would be a great fit to work with me, right? So I'm looking for the right people. And then secondly, my nature, I'm not an aggressive person. So I look at that as something I would not do. And I'm a professional. We don't do things like that, right? Like we're professionals. And the reason I didn't want to market and sell is because I didn't have the right definition. I didn't have the right picture of marketing and selling. Now, the way I look at it now and the way elite entrepreneurs look at it is this. There are people in this world who have a pain that I am uniquely designed to fix. And so marketing is what I do to make people like that aware that I exist. And selling is the conversation I have where I'm helping them see that I'm the woman for the job, and they get, and I give them an invitation to say yes, and they get to say yes, and their lives get to get changed. And so marketing and selling is the ethical thing I do because I am gifted with the ability to solve a problem that somebody else has. And the truth of the matter is if I do not market and you do not sell, they're going to stay in pain, most likely. They're going to stay in pain, or they're going to stay in pain for longer because I did not reach them. When you look at it that way, it is your moral obligation to market and to sell. Now, some people may say, well, my private practice, you know, we grew by word of mouth. I never had to do anything. But this is the thing, right? You don't want to build a business that works on, is on cruise control. It's on luck, right? Because the question becomes, if you have a pandemic, will that strategy work? If the hospital comes and creates two private practices around your practice, will that strategy still work? If there's some change in the insurance system, will that strategy still work? If it will not, why would you build a business on one leg when it's a table that should have four legs, right? And so you want to build into your private practice multiple streams, multiple ways it can thrive no matter what. That's what we do with everything else. So I would not build a practice on that kind of luck because things can change. And when they do change, you want to be in a position where it may shift some things, but it doesn't put you out of business and you can still thrive through it. Okay. So marketing and sales is something to embrace. It is something that is your job as an entrepreneur to either do it or make sure it is done. Okay. It is your moral obligation. So when you think about, you know, you run a private practice, you're a pediatrician, and, you know, like there are people who maybe they won't have access to the level of care you can deliver because you don't know they're there. They don't know you're there. But this is the kicker though. If there's somebody who is a lot less competent and is even harming children, who is out there marketing and selling, they will go to that person. They will not come to you because they don't know you exist. And so if you truly believe in your practice, you truly believe in your business, you truly believe in the impact, then your job is to show up and keep going like, I'm here. This is what we do. This is a problem we solve. These are the problems you have. This is what life can look like on the other side of working with us. You're inviting them to come work with you. Go here, schedule an appointment, and all of those things. The pathway to seven figures, the pathway to adding seven figures is marketing and sales. So those are two things that now, because one, we have the right attitude, then two, we don't resist these things anymore. We do them. We do them because it's part of the pathway. So that's number two. Number three is you want to become a true team leader. Okay. A team leader. Now, could you hustle your way in private practice? You actually can. It's like hustle your way to a million. No, you're going to need people, but this is the idea. You can build a practice off of you, or you can build a practice through others. And it was John Maxwell who said that one is too small a number for greatness. If you want to build a practice that will be, you know, like that'll have a huge impact, that'll create financial freedom, that'll create time freedom and all of those things, then you're going to need a team. The thing that will bring about some of the most overwhelming blessings in your business will be people, right? You get the right practice administrator, the right MA or the right doctor, the right whatever that is, right? But again, the people who, the thing that will give you the biggest headache in your business will also be people. So people is kind of, is this area of business people run away from, but it has the biggest ROI. There is no such thing as a great company without great people. And great people is not just tied to hiring the right people. It's being the right leader who can lead the right people and can unlock all the things that are inside of them that are gifts to your business, right? And so I cannot tell you how many times I would find, you know, like people who own private practices running away from team meetings, running away from holding people accountable, running away from sitting down to do the dirty, quote unquote, dirty work of clearly defining their role, clearly defining the outcomes they're responsible for and all of that, coaching their people up. Like, I shouldn't need to coach them. They should know what to do. That's just not the way things work. Like, it's just not the way things work. So taking on that role, again, no longer being in resistance. Like, this is what I do. I lead a team and together we're having this big impact. We're creating financial freedom. We're doing all of those kind of things, right? So the time to lead is here if you want to be this person who is running, who's growing this seven figure or multiple seven figure practice. Okay. Now, the final thing you need to do is really embrace the concept of growing and managing your finances. So I will tell you, my husband's background is in accounting. And when we started our private practice, and not when we started, for many years, we're talking seven, eight years. When it came to the finances, looking at the numbers, the profit and loss statement, taxes, all of those kind of things, I'm like, that's above my pay grade. If you have any questions about that, go ask my husband. For taxes, I'm like, where do you want me to sign? Like, I break out in hives thinking about a profit and loss statement, but this is the deal. This is the deal. If there's no margin, there's no mission. The fact that we see patients doesn't mean we get paid, right? Like, there are things that need to happen, right? And so we really need to embrace all of it. Like, it's end to end. So let me run a scenario here. Like, for instance, your front desk people, are they collecting the copays and are they collecting deductibles? Do you know what those metrics are, right? If you have a team of doctors working with you, are they completing their charting and their super bills or whatever are sent over so the billers can work on them in a timely manner, whether that's 24 hours, whether that's 48 hours, whether that's end of day for you, whatever that number is, right? Your billers, are they sending out the claims every day? Are they reworking the claims every day? What does your AR look like? like, you know, what does that report look like, right? You know, like your collections, like the people who have personal balances, are those being collected? Are people being sent to collections? If that's something you do, like what is happening there, right? Then when it gets into the bank, what is the profit and loss statement? But what does your cash flow look like, right? What are we doing as far as, you know, taxes, like tax liability and all of those things? Like, these are things, yes, we did not do them in our medical training, but we're entrepreneurs now, right? Like, and so this is part of what we do. And you just want to start from where you are. It may seem so overwhelming because it felt very overwhelming for me in the beginning. And I was in resistance, right? I did not do number one. Well, I did not do it fully, but I had to come to this point where, okay, you need to know this. You need to be able to speak the language of finance. Like, I mean, like if you think about it, like a regular non-medical practice, you would not expect somebody to run a multi-7-figure business and not understand the language of money. Like they tell you, oh, I don't care about the money piece. And you're like, are you crazy? Right? And so you want to get comfortable having the conversations. You want to get comfortable holding people accountable. You want to be comfortable making data-driven decisions where you're like, okay, this is what our cash flow is looking like. And because of that, this is what we need to do. You need to embrace all of that, right? Embrace all of that. And these are the things that will set you up to not only hit the 7-figure mark, because you can do many things to hit that, but do you want to hit it? Do you want to stay there? Do you want to continue to grow? Do you want to grow in a sustainable way? Do you want to grow in such a way that you're not creating a burnout situation? Do you want to grow in such a way that you're leveraging your team? And so, you know, growing does not mean losing more and more of your time. It may even mean gaining back your time because of the way you lead your team, right? The way you lead and unlock your team. So if you want to build that kind of medical practice, then these are the things you embrace. You embrace changing your attitude. You embrace marketing and selling. You embrace the concept of being a team leader, right? So you're not just embracing entrepreneurship, you're embracing leadership too, right? And like I said, the people will be your greatest gift. My team is like the greatest gift ever across my companies. Like these are the greatest gifts ever, right? And then really embracing this concept of managing finances, managing and growing finances, getting comfortable talking about money, getting comfortable leading your team to talk about money and all of those things. And, you know, this is an episode I want you to, you know, to take and maybe listen to if you have like a leadership team and stuff like that and lean into it. And even if all you do is in each of these four areas, you just make one change, you started the process. You started the process of building a different kind of practice, a practice that is more profitable, a practice that has a huge impact, a practice that does not create burnout for you, a practice that creates time freedom and all of those things, right? So I want you to really lean into it. And maybe I will give you one more thing, and it's just the relentless belief in what is possible, right? Because, you know, people say, well, you know, private practice is dead. But let me tell you, private practice is dead is a statement that has been there since I got into private practice 14 years ago, right? And so clearly it's not dead. Now, is it challenging? Of course it is. And that's why we're having these conversations, right? There is challenging, but there are things that we can do to thrive. And so as you work towards it, the picture you want to have in front of you is a picture of what is possible, a picture of your practice thriving, a picture of having a great team, a picture of all of that, because we are architects of our practices. We are architects of our businesses. And what that means is, if you think about what an architect does, they create a perfect picture of something that doesn't exist yet, right? They do that and then they reverse engineer and come and build it. Well, you are the architect of your practice. You are the architect of the masterpiece that can be your practice. And you want to kind of have that picture of what it could look like and then reverse engineer and work through it and create it. Now, can you do it? There's evidence because many people are doing it. So if they can do it, then there is evidence that this is a possibility. You're not just crazy, right? And I want you to embrace that, all right? So that's what I have for you today. But I do have a favor to ask of you, right? If you listen to this, you'll find out that in the OnTrendy podcast, we do not come to give you fluff of any kind. We come to give you valuable things that you can start implementing in your businesses and creating a transformation right away. Okay. So I want you to take this episode, and for every doctor you know who is in private practice, just say, hey, I listened to this. It's kind of cool. Why don't you take the listen? Because this episode has the potential to stop private practices from going out of business, helping physicians build private practices that don't create burnout for them, build practices that create financial freedom for them, build practices that help them really impact our world. And as you know, there is such a need for physician-led medical practices, right? And you will be helping them thrive. So you'll be this huge part of the Calgary that is bringing change throughout the physician community. And we need all hands on deck. So please share this with the doctors in your life. And I'll see you at the next episode of the OnCamera Podcast.